O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans chapter 4. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one without works, trust him who justifies the ungodly. Such faith is reckoned as righteous. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the law, word, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The contrast was stark. In December, the sun would set around 4:25 p.m., and it wouldn't rise until long after most people were already up and at 'em. In the summer, however, the sun would, for a while, be out until 10:30 at night, and would then be creeping back over the northern horizon, or the eastern horizon, around 6 a.m. It was quite the contrast, and it exemplified for me just how much a difference that big glowing ball in the sky can make towards how one feels. On those long, cold winter days in northern Minnesota, I could have routinely crawled into bed around 5 p.m. I didn't do that, but I could have. During those long summer sunny days, though, I often felt great, and my productivity level skyrocketed. Yard work and dog walks would routinely happen around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. If the sun was still out, so often were we. While this winter here in North Carolina is nothing like what the Beeries have recently been experiencing, you know, Bryce and a lot of the other kids in the area recently had a snow day that involved no snow and sunny skies. That definitely didn't happen where we were just living. In North Carolina, though, we have, nevertheless, had some extended stretches of wet, dreary days. Yes, it has been significantly warmer and brighter than what we were used to, which we are immensely thankful for. And yet, when those cooler, damp, cloudy days arrive, I can typically feel them when they're happening. I imagine you too can to some degree, because we all need and yearn for that God-given light. I'm not going to get into the science behind this need too much because I'll only confuse myself as well as all of you. Basically, our bodies crave sunlight to help produce vitamin D. Vitamin D is an essential nutrient that benefits our bones, our immune system, and it is also known to help ward off certain types of cancer. Sunlight is the key means for us receiving this important vitamin. That tidbit of information speaks to some of the physical benefits of sunlight. There are also essential mental benefits of exposure to sunlight. The science behind this is even more confusing to me than the physical components, so I'll just say that it is well known that the vast majority of people are far more pleasant to be around when they have had an opportunity to be outside and to soak in some of the sun. The physical and mental effects of exposure to light also point to our spiritual need for light. Our world has much metaphorical darkness within it, and that darkness has the power to cast heavy shadows on us. Meaningful relationships end, unwanted diagnoses are given, children are neglected, economies crash, countries are invaded, natural disasters hit, mysterious viruses spread. Any and all of these things can form long and heavy shadows upon our spirits. Whenever they do, our spirits yearn for light, just like our minds and our bodies. We witness this desire today in the character of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a scholarly man, a community and religious leader, and like a moth fluttering in the night sky, Nicodemus is irresistibly drawn to the light. And not just any light have you. He is drawn to Jesus, to the one who has already been declared the light of the world that no darkness can overcome. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the literal darkness of night, hoping that this light of the world will clear up some of the shadows that have been weighing heavy on him. To this curious, inquiring individual, Jesus offers some light via a few philosophical and theological teachings. And as you just heard, Jesus gave him some real zingers. They were good zingers, just not the easiest of teachings to grasp. That's true for Nicodemus and for those of us who have heard the teachings before. From the text, it's clear that Nicodemus isn't completely following what Jesus is saying, and understandably so. There's a lot that needs to be unpacked and explained in Jesus' message, and it doesn't appear that that happened, though. The scene ends as it is, with no further clarification on anything. Jesus' ministry resumes where we left it, and Nicodemus appears to be one of those many characters in Scripture who, after making a brief appearance, is never heard from again. And Nicodemus isn't heard from until he pops up much later and in a very unexpected part of the story. If you fast forward to the 19th chapter of John, 16 chapters past where we are today, and after Jesus has been crucified, we are told that Joseph of Arimathea, a man who had been a secret disciple of Christ, approached Pilate asking for permission to take Jesus' body off of the cross. Pilate gave Joseph permission, so Joseph took the body away. Nicodemus then reappears and helps Joseph prepare Jesus' body for burial. Jesus' more well-known followers are nowhere to be found at this pivotal time, which left this final intimate act of care for Jesus to be done by Joseph and Nicodemus. Nicodemus, as a seeker of light, certainly gives us one interesting example to follow. Attuned to the darkness of the world and to the darkness in his own spirit, he intentionally sought after the ray of hope he saw in Jesus. Yes, he went to Jesus at night in a secretive type of fashion, but secret or not, he was bold enough to go to the light that he desired. Darkness is a part of the world that we live in, and its presence can create in us all sorts of questions, fears, worries, scars. If we aren't aware of these shadowy realities, we either aren't paying close enough attention, or we become too accustomed to the darkness that we've forgotten how transforming the light can be. Nicodemus shows us that instead of us trying to ignore these shadows or somehow attempt to hide them from God, we should actually bring them with us into the presence of the light. As we open the scriptures, as we bow our heads in prayer, as we come forward to receive some bread and wine, or just bread, we can carry with us all these shadowy questions, doubts, worries, and hurts. I cannot say for certain what will specifically happen to you when you do these things and as you step into Christ's light, but what we as Christians trust that does happen is that in being exposed to the brilliant light of God's love, that the darkness present in our spirits will fade. The darkness won't go completely away, not yet. But it can and it will fade as we draw closer to God. I think Nicodemus' example illustrates this truth for us. The shadows that he brought into Jesus, the light of Jesus' presence that dark night long ago reminded him after he left Jesus, remained with him after he left Jesus. And as Nicodemus ventured back out into the darkness of night, he actually took with him more questions than he came with. He was undoubtedly perplexed by his encounter with Christ, and yet, remember where we later find Nicodemus in the gospel. The only way I can make sense of Nicodemus' actions is to say that whether we recognize it or not, our spirits are all instinctively drawn to the light. Earlier I said that I could only vaguely tell you the scientific reasons behind why we physically and mentally need sunlight. However, I can tell you with definite certainty that I would much, much prefer being out in that warm sunshine than hanging around indoors, and I am a far happier person whenever that's able to happen. My hunch is that that is somewhat similar to Nicodemus's situation with Jesus. We may not fully understand all the philosophical and theological questions Jesus presents us with, but he knows that the light and love of God is better, stronger than whatever darkness we experience. And so, as sure as the spring sunshine pulls us out of the darkness of winter, so too does Jesus' love pull us out of the darkness of our lives. We don't fully grasp this sacrificial light of God that has been given to us in Jesus. And in fact, we can't fully grasp it. What we can do, though, is we can experience it. And when we do, when we let those rays of love penetrate through our shadows, our lives can and will be transformed. As Nicodemus' story testifies, the light does shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
That can separate my heart from your great love. love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power.